Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marketing Masters. My name is Cash Miller. I'm the host and CEO of Titan Media Works. We do podcast production. Today, I've got with me Tiago Faria, and he is the anti-marketer. We're going to be talking about crafting offers because, you know, a lot of people, when they're putting together an offer, they make all sorts of mistakes. You know, it's like you say, hey, everybody, you know, thinks this is going to be great. You know, you're putting it together. You're saying, you know, a lot of times it's your own opinion, you know, of whether an offer is going to work and people are going to be attracted to it because you think it's good, but it doesn't mean it's going to actually work out. Tiago, it's great to have you, you know, with us today. Tell us a bit about what you do, because, you know, you worked at Google a long time. You're a business coach now. You know, are working with businesses and doing a lot of offer crafting, I'm sure. So it's great to have you. Give us some background.
Thank you so much, Cash. Real pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm Tiago. I'm from Lisbon, Portugal. I'm now a business coach for in the help industry. So basically anyone that creates solutions to help people solve problems, basically that's who I want to, who I target. And those business owners and entrepreneurs are kind of struggling to find, you know, ways to consistently bring, you know, high ticket clients to their own world. And they're being confused by all the, you know, there's so many different strategies out there. Like the internet is flooded with information. The gurus are telling us to do your one funnel away and then ads and then all those crazy stuff that might just confuse and make it everything more complex. I was one of those. I'm one bright shiny object chaser, ex bright shiny object chaser. I've been in that game for 3 years. So after I quit Google in 2019, I struggled for 3 years because of that. I was trying to complicate my life too much with all those complicated funnels and ads. Also complicating my life too with my clients, also complicating their lives. So since then, I've been trying to simplify as much as possible and find a way to, okay, I need to figure out a way to, you know, to make it easy for us, to make it accessible for anyone to start creating a very good, sustainable, with a high potential of growth business around this area. I was actually inspired by a book by this gentleman here, Jay Abraham, Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Got. So I focus on this last sentence, all you've got. Okay, what do I have? Well, all of us, we have contact lists, right? We have email, a contact list of clients, of leads, of we have friends, we have a network, we have an audience. So why not leverage all we have already in order to, you know, start and kick off and grow a business that can easily go to up to 10K per month. And then after that, okay, we can start having fun with the crazy stuff that we're all attracted to.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, especially knowledge-based businesses, you know, they are built around crafting some sort of offer. We've had this kind of stuff for a long time. If you go back, you know, especially when it's internet related, go back, 15 years, and you used to see these super long sales pages. Yeah, I don't know if you remember those things, but they would be just ridiculously long. But every one of them was built around an offer. It was, you know, hey, download this book or sign up for these courses, whatever it might be, you know, but a lot of offers are online are knowledge based. You know, they're, hey, we're giving you this, you know, when you're putting together, you know, the offer, what are some of the fundamental things you should be thinking about, you know, to craft it?
Yeah, the first step that I think I love to follow and to help my clients do is what most of us avoid. Like you said, we all start off with what we have in our own mind, right? I think people need this. I'm just going to create this and see if they want it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's usually the wrong approach because, you know, it just reflects our own head, doesn't reflect the market. So for me, the first step is to, okay, let's tap into our current clients, leads, and even audience that you have, and you can simply book a call with them and interview them. I think that's the first step, is to get to know our audience even better and ask specific questions around what are their main pain points, what are the frustrations, how do they feel daily around that, what are their main objectives, what do their ideal life look like? Because after that, after we talk to 5 to 10 people, we get a very good picture and we collect emotional words that after that we can use to craft our offer, right? So that's the very first step that most of us avoid. I don't know why we avoid talking to people, but that's intel that is waiting for us to be collected. And with that in mind, we already have a very clear idea of, okay, what is the problem that people actually want to solve? And not just the problem, for us to have a very good offer, an irresistible offer, like you say, we need to choose a problem that is urgent for them, and they want to solve it right now, right? It cannot be, one day I'll try to solve this problem, right? Like, one day I want to lose the 15 kilos that I've been trying to lose and nothing works so far.
Yeah.
But another thing is like, I really need to fix this kind of my back pain or my knee pain that doesn't allow me to go upstairs. And, you know, maybe this is something that I have to figure out right now. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble, you know, to find out what is that desperate problem that they want to solve right now. And you can only get that through interviewing people, right? That's the easiest way that I know of that will let you collect those issues that are troubling the people that you want to help. And then you actually have their words, the emotional words that they use, that you can use afterwards in your content, in your copy, or the way you position your offer. I think for me, that's the very first step.
You're on the money there, because, you know, let's see, if you, a lot of help type, you know, business coaches, and, you know, it could be a marketing coach, a health coach, a life coach, you know, like people that are helping other people, right? They've built up a customer base and they're thinking, how do I expand? How do I bring in new customers? But they're going to, you know, unless they're brand new, they're going to have something to start with, you know, because they have those customers, or they have a circle of people, you know, that they deal with on a regular basis that they can be asking, like, what would be compelling? You know, why would you, you know, like, what is it that is this high, you know, very significant pain point that you have? And then, what can I do to solve it? Yeah. And in which case, and then can I put it in such a format? Because a lot of offers are about, you know, turning that into like future business, you know? So it's like, here, I can give you something, you know, we talk about giving something away for free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause then, you know, or I'm trading for, you know, your email address. So then I can, give you additional information about other things, you know, down the road. So you should talk to people. I think that's the, you know, too many people make the assumption that their idea is great, but they never ask anybody. Then they put in a bunch of work and then they wonder why it doesn't sell.
I was there. Creating courses for months and then trying to sell it and nothing. No one wants it. I think it's, we should completely invert the process. First, ask what people want.
Right. And also we have a problem of copycatting, you know, so we'll see, hey, they have this offer.
Yeah.
You know, so because they're offering it, I should offer it. And the problem with that is you don't know if it's working for them. You know, is anybody downloading? Is anybody buying? You don't know their stats. You don't, it could be dead in the water and you don't know it, but they never took it down, you know. It's
or it could be working, but they have completely different assets than you do have, like different relationship with their audience, different resources, et cetera.
Yeah. So there's a number of reasons that, you know, offers like essentially fail. And one of them is because you didn't bother to ask anybody, you know, if it's a good idea and if it's something they would be interested in. And you want to, the more people that you can kind of bring into the fold and, you know, because you're, it's a, you know, it's kind of like that MVP, minimum viable product, you know, it's like, what do I need as a minimum? What are you going to need? There's constant testing. You know, nobody puts out, like big companies, when they put out products, they don't do it with the idea of, hey, people, you know, I will create and they will come. They do tons of, you know, market research and, you know, focus groups and stuff to make sure somebody's going to buy it. And you know, and anything you're putting up, you're going to spend a bunch of time on.
And it's not going to be the final thing. An offer is as a constant mutating living being, because you're always adjusting. You're always getting new feedback. You know, you have sales calls with people. They give you new objections. Mm-hmm. And you start to try to integrate those objections by design in your offer so that you anticipate people's questions that they have in mind. And it's going to be much easier for you. Once you start talking to people, not only before you create, but also after when you have sales calls, and it will always be a work in progress.
Right.
There's always space to improve an offer.
Yeah, you're right. There's going to always be, you know, ways that you can improve. And some of that comes, you know, from you put together the offer, you start giving it out, but then you start talking to the people that accepted the offer and say, okay, what else would you like to see?
Exactly.
You know, and that's also how you can, end up with additional product offerings, because it's like, okay, in some cases you can, you know, think of it as being in stages. You can have the first stage and then say, hey, this is the initial offer. And then I can have follow-on offers that maybe build upon, you know, provide more value, whatever it might, you know, however you want to do it. But you have to talk to those people that downloaded the original offer to begin with and see why they, you know, why they downloaded it, but also did they utilize it? You know, because a lot of people, oh, you know, they end up downloading, or they, you know, they take you up on your offer, but they never actually, they're like, eh, it's not really for me, you know, and so they wasted their money or whatever.
That's a big problem in this industry. And that's why we should really focus. If we want to succeed long-term in this industry, the help industry, we need to make sure that we are actually able to generate good results to people, because otherwise, you know, people will not continue paying you. Like you said, they're not going to want to buy anything else. They're not going to give you testimonials. You're not going to have success stories. So, and then life becomes much harder. So we should really focus on that. And the good thing about this industry is that once you create, generate a transformation, you create new problems, additional problems that people now have, right? Because you help them reach a certain stage of their business, of their life, et cetera. But yeah, we are in the results industry, definitely. And the main problem is, I think, if you just offer a course, like people go through a course of 30 hours of videos. I've read months ago the statistics that said like around only 3% of people finish those kind of courses. And imagine the percentage that actually have results after around courses. So in my mind, I always believe that we need to have some people have to have some access to you as the mentor, as the coach, as the consultant, in order to have results, because people just won't do it. If they just have a bunch of videos to watch, most people will not do it. You're not going to generate results, and then business will be very, very difficult for us.
Yeah. How do you show tangible results when you're putting together such an offer? Yeah, because often, like, whenever you go to some of these pages and you say, hey, this is the offer, it's download this white paper or whatever, you know, whatever it is that they're putting up, showing tangible results can be difficult. Yeah, you know, because a lot of the times what I see is, you know, it's going to be testimonials or something like that. But if you have a brand new offer, you're not going to have necessarily those things. So how can you, you know, approach providing a tangible result to people, like some sort of proof that this actually works for, you know, for whoever the audience is?
Yeah, if you're just starting out, obviously you're not going to have testimonials. But there's other ways to show proof, to show your credibility. So for example, your own story, maybe you have your own story of succeeding in that specific issue of their problem, or you've helped some friends or whatever, or maybe you work for free with a couple of people and then you generate some results and then you can use that as testimonials. You know, you can use also social proof of places you've been to, podcasts you've been interviewed on, media appearances, all those kind of contribute for your social proof. But once you, at the beginning stages, I don't think you should focus too much on that. I think you should focus more on like creating an offer that, you know, people actually need, and that you can actually generate a good result. And then the first few clients you're going to get, they will succeed, and you'll start, you know, it'll start being a snowball growing one after another. But the definite focus should be on this. Okay, how can I make people get this result the fastest possible and the easiest way possible? And how can I unlock the main obstacles that they face? Because most people for example, people that lose weight, they all block in the place. Oh, I've tried different diets, nothing worked, I cannot get rid of food in my house. And so you have to start thinking of all those potential objections that people have, and then remove them by default, by design in your offer. For example, people that cannot, I cannot follow any diets, I cannot get rid of food in my house. You can, for example, think of, okay, well, how can I get rid of that objection people have? I can do something for them, right? I can, for example, tell them, okay, remove all the food you have in your house, and I'll send you prepackaged food for you to receive in your house. All you have to do is put it in the microwave, and then you just follow the plan like with no problems at all, okay? So we should always be creative in the sense that, okay, people have objections in their mind. They've been jaded, right? they've been through courses that didn't work, most of them. We have to be on that mindset and think proactively, talk to people as well, about what would be the main objections they might have. Because if we remove them all, and if we, by design, solve all of those issues, I mean, people just, okay, it's easy. It's easy, yes. It's going to be a very easy yes for them to jump into our to our program.
Okay. So you start with the offer, you focus on that, but then before you've actually started, you know, putting it up there for people to take advantage of, start thinking through what are all the objections you would have. And this goes back to if you're soliciting feedback, you know, from people, you know, or maybe clients you deal with, you're able to show them, this is what I'm going to be offering, but you intentionally say, what would your objections be?
What have you tried before that didn't work?
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Kind of questions. Yeah. So you can get that kind of feedback, and using that feedback, now you can, you know, you figure out ways to make it more compelling, you know, whether it's the offer, but also have the answers ready for those objections. Cause if, you know, the people you're dealing with have them, others are going to have them too.
Yeah, not only answers, but it's by design. You know, my offer is like my program solves exactly all those issues. I do things for you if you cannot do it, if you try before, it didn't work, et cetera.
Yeah.
We have to be creative in that sense because nowadays there's a lot of competition, right? So we have to go in that specific detail of, okay, where do people get blocked? What have they tried before? It didn't work. How can you be different and actually solve it for people, you know? Even if it's a done for you thing, like sending them the food, you know, that's how creative we have to be in order to create a really irresistible offer that people have trouble saying no, because I mean, this is exactly what I need. You know, if you get
to that point. Right. So this is our way of incorporating customer feedback into it and, you know, to be able to make improvements, you know, on whatever it is. And this, you know, cause you mentioned like food delivery and stuff, you know, cause it works for those kinds of things too. I mean, it's not just, you know, digital in nature. Yeah. You get, you know, there's a ton of stuff that we, you know, that are, it's shipped, you know, it's, hey, buy this. So, I mean, it could be something as simple. I think of some of those, cause you mentioned food delivery, you have the subscription programs that have been around for, you know, last, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years or whatever, that they started coming along with products like Dollar Shave Club and everything. And it's like, here, you know, and you have to overcome that, you know, those objections. They had to do it. They had to figure out, you know, how do I make, you know, I have this compelling offer of, hey, it's like $1 a month, you know, or whatever it was. And you, but you got to overcome that, like, in their case, stigma, because it's like everybody just assumed it was a cheap product. You know, it's yes, it's a cheap price, but I'm going to get a cheap product. And that wasn't necessarily the case. Theirs is a really interesting story if you ever read it. But the, yeah, you know, so that's kind of the idea, whether it's like a digital product or it is a physical product that you're going to do, you can do this. You know, but you have to solicit. If you're not asking and talking to people, especially early on, you can end up with a really massive mistake. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's, for me, it's the main key in all of this, especially for us that have been trying different things, different strategies. It's never the easy button that we're trying to look for that's going to solve anything. It's basically this.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk to people around you, talk to your target audience, figure out what they want, create something around that. And then once you create it, you can go back to those people that you just talked to and say, hey, I just created this amazing thing that solves the problem you told me you had. Maybe it's a good idea for you to join in. And that's part of it, the anti-marketing strategy, is to talk to people, then, you know, create something for them. Maybe you'll get already the first few clients. And if you don't, there's also another thing for those people that don't need your offer that I love to focus on, and it was inspired by, of course, Jay Abraham, is to, once you create your new program and your new offer, you can create also a referral program for that specific offer, right?
Yeah.
So the people that don't need your current program, but they might know someone who does, and you incentivize them to, you know, refer your program to other people, and you give them a commission, for example. And like this, you start creating your own bigger network of people working for you, basically your own sales team, sending you highly motivated prospects, right?
Well, and one thing you mentioned, though, is if you're doing these kinds of offers, remember there is no easy button, you know, to it, because these things take time. They take time for it to play out. And what happens a lot in any of these, you know, kind of spaces is people get this like great idea and, you know, they start putting together the work, but they're doing it before they've ever talked to anybody. Then it doesn't work, or it needs tweaking, and they end up giving up, you know, because of how much effort they're putting in, and it takes longer and longer to see a return. And I say these things that, you know, there are some programs like this, and you mentioned using referrals, you know, which there are some extremely successful ones, yes, you know, out there that people have made millions of dollars on, but they put in the work and they had the patience and they were willing to talk to people. They were able to do everything until they came out with, you know, what, you know, they crafted basically that, you know, as perfect an offer as they were going to get. And then they figured up the follow on, you know, for whether it's additional offers, you know, they always knew what their intent was of whether I want to sell something direct. It's a subscription. I just need you to download this because I'm going to then present something else later, you know, but none of it's easy. You know, it takes time to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we, and then because of that, because it takes time, most of us at the beginning stages, at least, we don't allow us to reach the full potential, right? We don't see the results, immediate results, and then, okay, this is not working. And then you try something completely different, right? And then you keep going that circle that is never ending. It's kind of a addiction. Once you get into this, mm-hmm, okay, what's the new course I can buy about the quick fix, or the, you know, looks complex, but it seems like it's a very easy, fast thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a trap, basically. It's a trap.
What are some of the ways that, you know, because a lot of this, you know, like I say, I've dealt with a lot of business coaches over the years, and they, you know, for those types, you know, people in the fields, they're able, like, these can be really, you know, good ways to build their clientele. Okay. But how do you build the authority and the credibility? Because when somebody goes on a page, you know, like for a lot of business coaches, they've never heard of them. You know, it's because there's a lot of people in the space. You've got a few that are, you know, very large, but then the majority are not. But they're some really talented people. How do they go building up the credibility of the authority? Because I go onto like some landing page and they're trying to, you know, make me this offer, but I don't even know who they are. So how can they showcase themselves?
Yeah, I can give you an example of how I did it, which was basically what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Create your own podcast.
Yeah, podcasting is one way.
Is an amazing way because first, when I came back to Portugal, I didn't have any authority. Nobody knew me here. I didn't do anything before. So that's how I kicked off. I started creating my own podcast, interviewing my experts, celebrities, other entrepreneurs in my area. And people start seeing me together with those, you know, high level entrepreneurs. And okay, maybe if he's talking to this person, maybe he's also an authority, right? So you kind of have this borrowed authority, and you can very quickly do that because, you know, people love to talk about themselves. It's very easy to invite someone. They'll say, yes, of course. Yeah. Even if you're just starting out, I was surprised by how easily amazing people, even American people I've been following, like experts that I've been following, how easily they said yes, because these people know that what it takes to be successful, and mm-hmm, what it takes to be successful is to, you know, get out there, even if it's small podcast, big podcast, whatever. I think it's a very amazing strategy for you to position yourself as an authority. But also be as a guest, right?
Right.
Be as a guest to the podcast, because then you have a chance to tell the story. People hear you for 20, 30, 40 minutes. And for me, podcasting is like amazing, not only for that, for the exposure, for authority, but also for the connections you create. It's amazing. Yeah. For me, it's the most powerful thing is the connections that you create with hosts or guests. That's an easy way for me. It was to create the podcast. Of course, you can also start creating content on social media, mm-hmm, not just being a copycat, of course, because if you open Instagram, everyone sounds the same. The five tips, things you should do, the five mistakes you should do. That's the wrong approach, in my opinion. It's just noise nowadays, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, you should start getting out there and being yourself, like sharing your own unique point of view, telling stories of your own, your clients, etc. Sharing details of your life, how what do you think about specific topics, and not be afraid of being against the mainstream. Actually, it's advisable, in my opinion, to be against what is the current status quo, because that is exactly what will attract people to your world. It might detract other people, which is fine. They will never probably be your ideal clients. But I think those two things is what exactly started me to position as an authority. And also, if you don't have any content, if you're barely just starting now creating content to generate authority, what I also did and I advise people to do is to create a 90-day challenge. I did a 90-day challenge on YouTube, 90 days, 90 videos in 90 consecutive days, which I extended later to 120, because it creates a lot of buzz on the platform where you are. It starts, you know, giving you more eyes because, okay, this guy is a content partner for us. Let's give him more eyes. And you improve your qualities very quickly. You know, 90 days of videos, you are 90 videos up of your content creation skills. And I think is those two things I would advise.
Yeah. Another thing that you can throw in there is a lot of people for an expertise standpoint will do books as well, and you'll get them, and then they'll go on podcasts to promote the books and such, but they're also cross promoting, you know, themselves, not just the, hey, buy my book. Cause a lot of people nowadays, they write the book or they even have somebody ghostwrite the book. Yeah. And just give them all the input that they want, but it's an authority builder. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, I'm a published author. And nowadays you can self-publish. It's so easy. And nobody knows the names of the publishers. You have a book, you have something physical. and sometimes that's the offer. It's like, hey, sign up to this, and I'll send you a free copy of my book. Yeah. And as long as the book has got something of value to it as well, yeah, don't just do a book so you have a bunch of, you know, so we, you know,
it's not a full 100 page sales page, no.
yeah, exactly, because some books have turned out that way, but yeah. You know, that's another thing. So there's different things you can do. Podcasting is one of the best things. You know, we do podcast production, and a lot of the people we work with are business coaches, and you know, they're people that they want thought leadership, and you think of it that way. Yeah, where, you know, they're going on shows, because we also do booking for people, and that's what we're doing. We're putting on shows because you want to, you know, be able to showcase your own expertise elsewhere, and then you're able to use that content, because a lot of people think of, hey, you know, I'm on the show, I'm in front of their audience. Well, remember that you can get, you know, the downloads and stuff, and then you can put that, you know, that content in front of your own audiences too. Yeah, so you're able to share those things, and it's great content for social media and such. So there's a ton of value, you know, and the ability to kind of repurpose on how you're doing nowadays too, with the social media stuff. If you want to build a little bit of buzz using podcasts, because a lot of them have become videos, you can pull clips out of them, you know, and you pull the clips out, and that can help you build followings, you know, depending on, you know, because it'll be all stuff that's, you know, you said, you know, it's think sound bites. So
that's an amazing service. I definitely recommend people to use Titan services for that.
Yeah. Well, I say that, you know, those clips and stuff can be really good for building social followings. And that's how you end up building expertise. It's not any one thing particularly, but you want content creation. And one of the things about that is, if you're trying to be an expert so that people would want to download your offer, the more that they can see and hear you, you know, the days of blogs as being the, you know, the way to do this is not, no, you, and you can just do a transcript and turn it into a blog post. So, So there's a ton of stuff you can do there.
It's very important nowadays for people to see you, feel you, right. To relate to you, and not just someone hiding behind a computer. I think.
Yeah. One of the industries like we end up working with is business brokers, and you know, there's a bunch of, you know, they help you sell businesses, right. You know, and they need to be seen as experts, but it's a long sales cycle to do that. So you use podcasts so that you end up getting to know the person. And then when you've made that decision to sell your business, to, you know, get your exit, you're going to go back to the people you've become
you
familiar
remember.
With. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you become familiar because, you know, they kept sending you stuff that was, hey, I'm on this podcast and you can learn these things, you know, and because you're giving away information for free.
Completely true. Totally agree with that. Yeah.
Now, how would you be able to, you know, simplify the decision-making process? So for whatever the offer is, how can you simplify it so that it becomes this sort of a no-brainer of, yeah, it just makes sense to do this? You know, how can you do that with your offer?
Yeah, so I think one of the ways to create urgency, in a sense, is by design. Like we talked at the beginning, if you're solving a problem that you want to get rid of right now, that by design is something that they urgently need to buy. And if we talk their language, if we did a good job of interviewing people and capturing the emotional language, if we include that in the way we present it, people by default will think, okay, man, I need to buy this now. I need to buy this now because, I mean, this is something I have now. This person definitely understands how I'm feeling. And it has a transformation that I actually want, right? It has to have a unique promise that people actually want and see themselves achieving. That by design creates urgency, right? And then, of course, you can create the other kind of urgency, which is, there's going to be there's a specific date where this program starts, you know, it starts on the 5th of January. So it does, you can only apply until the 31st. And there's limited spots because you can only help so many people at once.
Yeah.
If you want to really create those transformations in depth. So those are the three things, I think. Like you have to have a specific reason for people to act now. And some of them are embedded by design in your offer because of the urgent problem you're solving. And others could be, you know, those urgency, the scarcity, and et cetera. Yeah, always being truthfully, okay? Always being genuine, never invented. It's, you know, this, if you do trouble once, you'll get in trouble, you know, because in this industry, people get burned very quickly if you're not true to yourself and to others.
Yeah.
So, but I think those two things could be very powerful.
All right.
To make people buy now.
Yeah. Well, that's the end goal. Do you have any last thoughts to kind of wrap things up? You know, if somebody's thinking of going this route, you know, and they want to do some sort of offer, you know, some primary things they should be focused on.
Well, I think maybe even before the step that we talked about, I think one thing that I didn't mention is we have to start being very specific on who we're targeting. Because if we are very generic, like most of us are at the beginning stages, or by nature, we kind of tend to, I want to help everyone. Whoever gives me money, I want to help them, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
The general tendency that we have. But it's a trouble because your message would kind of be dissolved and you won't attract anyone specific. So we should try to be as specific as possible into the person we're trying to help. What's the context? What is the life situation of the person and the specific problem? So we need to be very clear on that. For example, if you're a relationship coach and you position yourself like that, I'm just a relationship coach. And then people will say, oh, okay, that's good for you. Interesting. But if you say, I help men avoid, you know, divorce, for example, like very specific problem that they need to solve right now, that immediately positions yourself as, okay, this person is the way to go. I mean, it's the only viable solution for me because I'm exactly in this point and he understands me. He has something that will solve my problem. So I will only work with Cash, for example. You know?
Yeah. No, so yeah, definitely you want to basically niche down a little bit. You know? Yeah. And you're crafting it to a specific audience. And remember, depending on who you're trying to go after, those audiences can still be really big, but by getting specific like that, they're going to view you as an expert in the subject that they care about, you know, that they're thinking of in the moment versus just being very broad. You know? Yeah. So like you gave us an example, you know, avoid divorce for men, versus, hey, I just help you avoid divorce, you know? So, you know, you said, okay, now I'm going to work with just men. And then you could say, any number of things, but that's the idea, is get specific. That will make your offer more compelling. Tiago, this has been great. How would people get a hold of you if they want to, you know, they want help crafting offers and putting together such a program?
Yeah, definitely. So they can first send me an email if they have any question, any comment, whatever. Mm-hmm. Tiago@tiagofari.pt. That's TIAGOFARIA.pt. I'll send it afterwards if you want. My website is still in Portuguese. I'm in the beginning stages of internationalizing my brand, but you can still lurk me there, tiagofari.pt. Use Google Chrome to translate and lurk me a bit.
Yeah.
if you want to have a brainstorm call or like to get to know each other, I love to talk to people and I love to get to know people. So on my website in the top right corner, you can book a call there with me and have some fun.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about how to craft offers, you know, depending on your business. If you're in any kind of, you know, you're an expert in a business, you know, in an industry, you know, you're a business coach, you're a life coach, whatever it might be, offers are really good for attracting new clientele. You know, you get to show off the expertise that you have, but, you know, remember, you're going to have to, you know, be talking to people. See what they're going to actually want. Don't assume, you know, that you know what they would buy. You know, you're going to save yourself a lot of time and a lot of, you know, frustration, you know, later if you do that. the more work you do on the front end, the more successful the offer can be. Yeah. So my name's Cash Miller. I'm CEO of Titan Media Works. We do podcast production, host Marketing Masters. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode.